Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's right, Sunbury Motors Studio, and our thanks to Sunbury Motors have been with us since day one. And you know what? Holiday sales are strong. Holiday sales are strong. People are taking the suggestion, hey, look, this is the holiday to go out and put a bow on something in the driveway. So check it out, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And also Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. This is Tuesday. Our Tuesday show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance. Price and service, they mean everything to all of us. And that's the motto at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Kevin Hurst, Steeler fan extraordinaire, who, by the way, won't watch them play any longer.
It works. Every time I don't watch them, they win.
You do realize the insanity of that, don't you?
Sean Carey, who's another big Steeler fan in the building, says that you've cracked the code, just stay in the basement. Referring, of course, to the commercial.
Yeah, but these are people who don't want you around. So, I mean, I don't really, you know, they're kind of using it as an excuse.
I see.
And some of it's kind of personal, to be honest with you.
That's cold. I mean, but I also know that the Steelers being in the hunt for a playoff spot means that, let's see, the Dolphins have to lose to the Bills and the Jets both, and the Chargers have to lose to the Raiders and Chiefs. The Chargers losing to the Raiders, they shouldn't go to the playoffs then.
Right. I understand all this. All right. They had the return to rec game on Saturday. Lauren Crispell joins us, who helped put all of that together. LC, welcome. It's great to have you with us and have you back on the show.
To be with you, buddy. Let's hope the Cincinnati Bengals never formally change their name, because it's a nice reminder for them every so often when they play the Steelers, you know?
I mean,
they show up, buddy.
I mean, they had a chance last night to get themselves to the number two seed in the conference, for goodness sakes, and be at home.
Yeah, massive missed opportunity for them, no question.
But everybody, New England had a chance to be the number one seed, lost at Miami late. Cincinnati had a chance to get to a two seed, lost. You know, I mean, on and on you go. I mean, Denver had it. Now they lost. I mean, Denver lost at home. And Cincinnati, New England lost on the road. Dallas loses at home. Does anybody out there want this thing? Anybody want this thing?
I think the Steelers want it now, but it's about 15 weeks too late.
Yeah, well, they're you know, for all of you saying they're mathematically alive. Yes, and yes, and the Easter Bunny will be showing up later, early in 2014. So, from your perspective, with the floor being put in, everything else, how did you feel that outside of the result of the game, which is obvious, you feel like the return to rec went?
You know, Steve, it was a great day. It's hard to believe that between the end of March, when all of it started taking shape as a concept, that time between the end of March to December 14th just disappeared. It went so fast, and there were a couple moments Saturday morning before the doors opened where we looked at each other, Cappy and I, and a couple people and I looked at each other and said, I can't believe it's here. And by and large, you never like to say you felt an event went perfectly, but it went very well. You know, there were little things here and there that I think if we were to do it again, we might do a little bit differently. But the response has been overwhelmingly positive. Our hope going into it was that fans would get a chance to dust off the memories and recall their very best memories of Rec Hall and Penn State basketball. And I think, for the most part, from what I've heard, that's exactly what happened for fans. And, you know, I didn't think I'd really get caught up in the nostalgia of it, Steve. And there I was during the anthem with Natalie Barina Race, a good friend of mine, and, of course, granddaughter of John Box, singing the anthem. Mm-hmm. And I was getting a little misty. It was just nice to be back there and be 12 years old again, watching the likes of the 91 team. And I think it was a great day all around. The result notwithstanding, I think everybody loved it.
Yeah, first of all, the crowd was unbelievable in there. I mean, I'm talking into it. Students were unbelievably great. I mean, the crowd was I don't think you could ask any more of a crowd than what they got out of that crowd on Saturday.
No, and I was, and I'll admit, I was a little concerned Saturday morning with the snow coming and the roads the way they were. I want to make sure I take a moment to really thank the fans. The students were phenomenal, but the fans of this community came out. They braved some treacherous conditions, and they made a commitment to be there and support this program, and it means the world to coach. It means the world to our players. And it was an important step, and it was a big statement for our fans to brave all that they did to get there and sort of plant their flag in the ground and say, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm going to support this program. So the fans were phenomenal. I was really concerned Saturday morning, and by the end of the day, I just sat there and said our fans were phenomenal today. There's no doubt about it.
The fans were unbelievable. Got there, into it, the whole deal. I just, you know, and the students were unbelievable. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, that was all well done. Now the question that people are going to ask, will you venture to do it again now that you have the experience of doing it once?
Well, you know, it's hard to sit here on December 16th and say definitively that we're going to do it again. I can't say that right now. I think the sentiments leaving the event leave us feeling like we want to do it again. I think Coach would like to do it again. Anybody that was there, I think, enjoyed it enough that you walk out saying, when can we get this on the schedule again? It's a lot more complicated than that, and I think you know and Brian knows it. Some years, Steve, it may just be difficult to find a date where you can have the building to yourself for a day or two in advance.
Right.
There will be years where Russ Rose and his crew will be in there up through the championship week of the volleyball tournament, which would really eliminate any chance of making it happen on a weekend where students are in town. So the first step is really finding a date where you can occupy the building, and that's hard enough. The second step is making sure we can get everything orchestrated again. And I do think that part would be a little bit easier down the road now that we've got one under our belt. But there are a lot of steps involved that would need to be in place. So the short answer is we'd like to find a chance somewhere down the road, but it's hard to sit here today and say, yes, it's definitely going to happen.
Well, if we were to do this and see this happen a year from now, you couldn't have done it. Because Penn State being a higher seed, women's volleyball is going back to first and second rounds at home and highest seed hosting.
Right.
Starting next year. So next year, because the weekend that you picked was perfect, right before finals, non-conference game. I mean, the date that was picked was perfect, and you know, except for the snow, obviously.
And there were, we didn't count on that, I'll be quite honest.
Well, nobody does. You can't predict that. I mean, that's an issue. That's why, you know, for example, people say, well, gee, you know, you look at the Nebraska game, they announced 98,000, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, there weren't 98,000 a year. Yes, of course, it was 20 degrees, it was snowing out. Okay, I got it.
Right. You know, there are so many moving parts, and there are so many schedules that need to be coordinated. That's another part that I want to touch on, Steve. The cooperation that was shown across the department from a coaching perspective was simply phenomenal. You know, whether it was Russ Rose, Jeff and Rochelle Thompson from women's gymnastics, Randy Jepson from men's gymnastics, Cale Sanderson from wrestling, they were outstanding. They knew what this event could mean to the program, and they wanted to see it happen, and they were supportive from the get-go. So, again, everybody that was a part of this was so supportive and just wanted to be solution-driven and find a way to make it happen. And again, it won't be that easy from year to year. You touched on the changes to the women's volleyball tournament, and that'll make it difficult. But hopefully down the road we can find a way to piece it together again.
Yeah, it was well done. I mean, and a lot of things had to happen. Seven rows got pushed back on the one side because you had to be able to fit the court and the benches in there. I mean, the configuration of the building's different, but the configuration of the building's also better than it used to be, even though you had to push back seven rows. What I was impressed with is that the end zone on the one side pulled out much further than it ever did when they played basketball there before. And obviously on the other side, the one that's covering the old entrance to Rec Hall is also the same way, the way that it pulls out. I mean, so everybody was around the court, which was tremendous.
Yeah, the geometry is a little bit different now. And make no mistake about it, neither mine nor David Capriletti's college degrees say engineering on them. So I want to make sure we're clear about that.
Yeah.
But you know, we took some measurements back in the spring, and with the assistance of the Rec Hall staff, you know, Mary Bolich, Benji Knorr, and Cody Ritchie, we, you know, measured very carefully to make sure that we could get the court in there, to get the structure in there, that it would look right, that it would feel right. And I'll be honest, I'd be curious to hear what you say and whether or not you agree. To me, it felt right. It felt like it fit perfectly on Saturday.
Well, it felt right in it. The way it was, like I said, the students all along the one side, and the fact that the seats are now closer in the end zones than in any time I remember, because you know everything's been replaced in there in the bottom. I mean, the only thing I would say, seriously, from our point of view, you need, I mean, and take this the right way, everybody, we need different chairs up there, because there are points, for example, where we're so low where we sit that we had to stand up so we could see the one half of the court. See, that has to, from the media perspective, that has to change.
Yeah, and there were a couple of things that I think we kind of failed to plan for. You know, anybody who was watching at home on Saturday saw a wonderful Santa hat, a holiday hat, there for about the first 2 minutes of gameplay before we quickly moved to get that fan relocated. And that's just a testament to the building and it's the way it's laid out. And,
yeah, that's fine.
The fact that we haven't done a hoops game there in so long. But there are a couple of things, I think, in hindsight, that if we could go back and plan for it a little differently, we might tweak here and there that would improve the viewing experience or the broadcasting experience, as you touched on. And you know, that's just the product of, as Bruce Parkhill calls it, the building's a grand old lady, and it's not necessarily built for broadcasts in 2013,
well,
but I think it did well on Saturday.
Actually, no, because we used to be on risers on the other side. I've only done one other event on the side we were on the other day, and that was the NCAA Men's Volleyball Championship between Penn State and UCLA. It's the only one I'd ever done there. It's different when it's a smaller volleyball court. When it's a basketball court that encompasses the entire width, right? You know, you have to be a little bit higher up actually sitting, you know, and I'm talking like 6 inches higher at most to do that, but still you have to be in order to see the court. I had no problem seeing over people. But you're sitting there, and you're like, okay, I'm 5 inches above the table. This isn't good.
Well, the neatest part for me is one of our goals, and actually one of Coach Chambers' first goals, when we proposed this, he said, hey, guys, this is great. I want to make it happen. But the one thing you've got to promise me, if we're going to do this, I need the students to be lined up the way they were when they played here back in the 90s.
And they were.
And that part to me was really fun. And we tried to give them ownership of that whole north side. And to their credit, they took it. And they owned that building on Saturday. And I thought it looked fantastic.
Yep.
And kudos to the students, because they were outstanding. They were lined up well before the doors opened. They got into their seats well before tip, and that gave the energy that gave the building some real energy, and they breathed some life into the warm-ups, and there was a swagger to the warm-ups, and there was a great feeling during those warm-ups, and that was all the students. They were outstanding on Saturday.
Yeah, well, the whole building was. The whole building. I mean, we often talk over and over and over again about the student body, and justifiably so, because no matter what, they put the juice and the energy into the Jordan Center or Rec Hall. They put the juice and the energy into Beaver Stadium. At the same time, so the people who pay the money, I mean, legitimate, significant money to go see these things, they were as incredible. So they were as incredible.
No question. And I've talked to a few people who were behind the benches. I think that's the side you're referring to, on the south side, the season ticket holders and the community members. I could see the looks on a lot of people's faces when they walked back into that building. There were fans there that lived there in Rec Hall over those years that I think were very happy to be back home. I put that word in quotes, back home for a day. And I mentioned a couple friends that I went to school with, went to games with as a youngster. I think they enjoyed not only the chance to be at that game, but also the chance to see the 1991 team as well. And in getting a couple short minutes with them at halftime, I was back to being 12 years old talking to Freddie Barnes, and it was just a nice moment.
No, and no offense, but it's about time they were honored, to be frank with you. It's about time they were honored, because, you know, when you have a championship banner up there that has your year on it, you deserve to have it. It's about time that they were, because they won. Not only did they win, but they also made the NCAA tournament. Not only that, they won in the opening round where they beat UCLA, and then they had that tough double overtime loss to Eastern Michigan in the second round. But still, it was great to be back for a day. But one of the keys moving forward, LC, is we know what the dynamics are. You know, when you talk about recruiting, a 16 and 17-year-old, okay, they would be wowed if they were brought in there. But you and I both know that a lot of times that when they come in on visits, they look at an empty building. Okay? Once in a while, they're in there. But they'll look at it, you know, hey, let's take you a tour of our facilities. Here's our locker room. Here's our weight room. Here's the building. These kids are all brought up in the fact that everything has to look like what the Miami Heat has. Despite whatever flaws we want to talk about, the Jordan Center looks like what the Miami Heat has. So Talk about the importance of making that building work beyond one game in Rec Hall.
You are absolutely right, partner, and I'm glad you're kind of leading into what the next step is. You know, that was fun for a day, and we enjoyed the nostalgia of it for a day. But moving forward, the future is here in the Bryce Jordan Center. And this has been a great venue before, and it will be a great venue again. And now the challenge, after what was an enjoyable day Saturday, we've got to find a way to bottle up that energy, to bottle up the connection the students had with our program on Saturday, and bring it down the road. And there's no reason it can't happen. There are a lot of moving parts to making it happen. We've got to do a better job from a marketing perspective. We've got to take care of our season ticket holders, those fans that make the long-term commitments to us. We've got to energize the students and give them that connection that they felt on Saturday and make it clear to them, hey, you impacted the game at Rec Hall. Well, you can impact the game here, too. And so that's really the next task, is finding a way to make the BJC feel cozy, to make it feel intimate, where our fans know that you are a part of the action and you can impact the action on the floor. And you've seen it here, Steve. You saw every game, and well, hell, broadcasted every game here since we were in the building. So you've seen it where the building is rocking, and it can happen. It's happened before, and it will happen again. So that's the challenge. We've got to bottle up what we did on Saturday and make it happen here moving forward.
Well, that's the next challenge. To you and your staff, you did an absolutely outstanding job. The response of the fans was just off the charts, which helps make your job look even better. But you put all the nice small touches in that make a major difference. And I congratulate everybody on that.
I appreciate it, buddy, and I speak on behalf of everybody here, because there were a lot of people involved here that put a lot of time and effort into it, and it was a great day, and as you said, now we've got to find a way to create more great days for our fans and program moving forward here in this building.
Thanks so much, LC. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. We'll see you soon, Steve.
Okay. That's Lauren Crispell.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2005 Chevrolet Colorado, inspected with all stickers, just $12,494. A Carfax certified 2012 Ford Focus SE with low miles, just $13,962. HHR LT, new set of tires, $15,498. 2011 Toyota RAV4 Limited, $19,492. Diesel power for your big jobs, a 2011 Ford Super Duty F-350 with only 10,000 miles, lowest price promise, $34,595. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Hey, I want to do something very quickly before the bottom of the hour. I want to talk about the Needy Family Fund, which is so important. It's needed more than ever. And when you look at the Needy Family Fund, it provides food, clothes, toys, much more to Valley families. Is so important. The Needy Family Fund is a joint effort between the Milton and Sunbury Salvation Army, Susquehanna Bank, can't thank them enough, Daily Item, and, of course, all of us here at Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
Now, the needy family fund's growing. It's up over $61,000. The total needed this year, and it is absolutely needed, is $75,000. So let's close with a flourish on this. Some recent contributions include $400 from Ron and Faith Clark of Milton, $200 from Todd and Kimberly Brocious of Sunbury, $100 from Harold and Sandra Noker from Northumberland, $100 from John and Nick Krebom, and I hope I pronounced that right, in memory of Heidi of Middleburg, and also $1,000 from Sunbury Motors. There's also $1,100 in anonymous donations. And, of course, the Needy Family Fund, you can donate at any branch of Susquehanna Bank. Yeah, this is to help out with food, toys, clothes to Valley families. Now, I just mentioned some numbers to you. I do not want you to sit there and say, well, gee, I can only give 10 or 15. Believe me, that's as great as any of the numbers I just mentioned, because your 10 and 15 goes with his or her 10 and 15, goes with his or her 10 and 15, and then it starts to build up and make a difference. So whatever you can do to help out, please do so. The Needy Family Fund, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show is brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. And, of course, we're doing the show today from the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, let's open up the phone lines at 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. We've had back-to-back guests in the last 2.5 hours, so let's get to it here at 800-795-9565. And check back in. Kevin's already said that today that the Giants wish they had Philip Rivers.
Like, that's no.
It's just hard every day working with you. It's
joke.
Hard.
It was a joke.
Hard every day, you know, living the moment, no perspective.
And the Orioles signed Balfour as a closer for $15 million for 2 years.
Well, what did he give up? How many earned runs did he give up this year? Fewer than 10?
Let's see.
He went through a streak where he hadn't given up any.
2.59 was his ERA.
Okay.
Converted 38 of 41 saves.
He had a stretch where he converted like 30 in a row.
72 strikeouts in 62 and two-thirds innings, and in the past two seasons, he has 62 saves and only 5 blown saves.
All right. Does a lot of sidearm stuff. Australian.
What does Australian have to do with it?
Just talking about his background.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe
talking about his background.
Maybe that's why he was sidearm or something.
No, it's part of the. It's been a part of the movement ever since Kent Nielsen. Play for the Brewers. Ever since he got into the major leagues, there's been an explosion of major of baseball in Australia, to the point where Australia now has a spot in the Little League World Series.
That's very true, yes. And they play baseball. They play the Little League World Series, which is obviously in their winter. As soon as they come back from Williamsport, they're playing their next season.
Right.
They go basically from January to July before they play the Little League World Series. They have their team picked basically in July or in January.
Right. So, there's been a lot of talk about Bill O'Brien and, you know, what's he going to do? His name's surfacing all over the place. And this has been a hot topic. No question about it. Now, let's start with this. He keeps a lot of things to himself. And I know that if it were me, I would keep things to myself. Okay? I mean, it's just the way it is. I don't get into when people have offered me anything or whatever, or have talked to me along the line. And I don't even think Kevin knows, to be honest with you. And Kevin and I are pretty tight. So whenever I've had something my way, tossed my way, offered, hey, let's talk more, whatever, I've kind of just kept it to myself. Yeah, I don't think I've talked to you about any of that stuff.
No.
And if I would talk, and he'd be one of the people I would talk to about. So he keeps whatever, and he has an agent that deals with all this. And agents are obviously very important. And I mentioned yesterday the name Jimmy Sexton. Kevin, you hate this part. It's the business part.
That's the reality of sports.
It's the reality of it, too, yes. We're going to have Tony Knopf on Christmas Eve, by the way, on our Christmas Eve show, talking a lot about business. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, is going to be with us, too. Looking forward to that. Jeff Byers, Penn State Wrestling. That's our Christmas Eve show that we're setting up, because we're going to do the show on the 23rd and Christmas Eve. And then a Big Santa special that's coming up. Big Santa special. And don't forget S. Claus tonight from 6 to 7 here on the station. An 80-year Sunbury Broadcasting tradition. You know how special that is? You know how special that is? So let's take it back down to Bill O'Brien. I know I got sidetracked there for about 45 seconds, but you keep things to yourself, and he has an agent, and if somebody wants to contact him, they can contact him. But at the same time, look at what he's doing with his current job. What is he doing with his current job? He's reshaping his staff. He has two openings, so he's trying to fill those two openings. Okay, reshaping the staff doesn't indicate to me you're leaving. They're signing, not signing, they're getting verbal commitments from high school athletes. They have 18 verbal commitments, including a significant one last night that he personally told me back in, I want to say, October, was a priority individual. Well, that priority individual is now verbal for Penn State. And they have 18 verbals. They've gone to Yankee Stadium in New York in the past week to look at a game. Took the banquet on Saturday night and hit the accelerator on the banquet, where the banquet was over in an hour and 35 minutes. And I dismissed the coaches early so they could go to Hershey because they wanted to go down and see a championship game, because there are several athletes not in the 14 class, February 14, but were significantly guys they were looking at for 15 and 16. Well, why are you looking at guys for 15 and 16 if you have one foot out the door? Now, obviously, if things don't pan out, you want to make sure what you're doing currently is, or you're not happy with what you hear, you want to make sure that your situation here is in great shape. But it's the way they're attacking it, the verve with which they are attacking this, that is impressive. Because now we know that the number has gone from 15 to 20 scholarships available, plus any early entries that would start class here at Penn State on January 13th would all count against last year's class, so they have four openings there. So the door is open to the possibility of a class that could be the size of 24, with the idea of getting this to as close as 75 scholarships as possible. But there is a verve with which they are attacking this, an energy with which they are attacking this, that is full-blown, all-out, and nothing but Penn State. Now, again, he has an agent to handle all that other stuff. And his name surfacing in the NFL makes absolute and complete sense. Why? Successful coordinator in the Super Bowl, now 2 years, CEO, head coach, runs the show, it's his baby. And he's had success at it. He's also done it under some of the more dire circumstances. And let's face it, if you're firing your coach in the NFL, you feel like you have an NFL version of dire circumstances. So his name servicing makes complete sense. It's something we're going to have to get used to. Now, as time went on with Joe Paterno, this was never brought up. It wasn't a concern. But if we were doing this show back in 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, it would have. Joe was contacted by the Packers. He was contacted by the Raiders. He was contacted by the Giants. And, of course, we all know the one that everybody knows about is being contacted by the Patriots, in which he was offered 5% of the team. I mean, Joe's deal was not just a million-dollar deal. Joe was also offered 5% of the Patriots by Billy Sullivan. That's how badly Billy Sullivan wanted Joe Paterno to leave Penn State. When you're talking about a percentage of an NFL club, and Joe slept on it, turned it down. But his name did surface with Green Bay. It did surface with Pittsburgh. It did surface with Oakland. And, of course, the one with the Patriots that everybody knows about. So that, you know, you have to look back that Joe Paterno was of comparable age and experience, maybe a little bit more experience, because at this point, from 68 to 72 would be Joe's third through, what, seventh years as a head football coach, and was in his early 40s. Well, that's where Bill O'Brien is now. He's 44 years old. He's going into his third season as a head coach at Penn State. So it's comparable experience, comparable age. The difference is that we weren't talking about this back in the 70s because this show wasn't there. And here in the 2000s, it's very much available that people are talking about it, and it's on the board. And he's a logical candidate, an absolutely logical candidate, and I think would do a great job. Now, what are his personal goals and aspirations? I can tell you something on a personal level. Goals and aspirations that you have sometimes in your 20s change a bit when you get in your 30s and 40s. Sometimes you get a situation and you look around and you say, you know what? This really is what I want. And you stay. Now, we don't know what his goals and aspirations are, because he doesn't fully state publicly for everybody what they are. He keeps it to himself, which is the right way to do it. And while some may say that it hurts Penn State recruiting because people will use it against him, it also does explain on the recruiting trail that the guy you're talking to right now is a hot commodity. So, do we have to get used to this? Yeah, you have to get used to this. No question about that. Because he's had success here. Remember, people thought that this program would win 6 or 7 games the last 2 years. They won 15. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Service and price means something to you. Oh, they're there for you. No question about that. Homeowners, life, business, auto insurance. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. Why don't you find out why? Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. As we continue from the Sunbury Motor Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Our thanks today to Lauren Crispell at Penn State and Neil Coulong from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for joining us on today's show. Great to have them with us. And you know, we have a lot going on guest-wise this week and next week as well.
So we're looking forward to that merit very much. By the way, you sent me that piece on fan bases that are always willing to like jump off a bridge.
Yes.
And the Steelers made it, huh?
Did you like that list? I thought that was rather interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what part of it is? Because fans are not used to, you know, the situation of right. of not having a good football team.
Right. I understand. Later on, between now and Christmas, we're going to have on, between now and Christmas, Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, Jeff Byers, voice of Penn State Wrestling, Corey Geiger, and Brian Tripp from the NCAA Women's Volleyball Final Four in Seattle is going to join us Thursday. Pete Jensen from NHL.com, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record, and Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. That's what we have in the next week between now and Christmas Eve. Santa's on tonight between 6 and 7, and we're going to have a Santa special on Christmas Eve as well. So we have a lot going on.
Did you see in that list some of the other fan bases that weren't so bad when their team lost? One in particular I was a little surprised about was Eagles fans. You know why?
I don't know why.
The thought process is Eagles fans don't expect much from their team, so when they don't perform, they're not as upset.
Expectations have changed over time, though. I mean, the Andy Reid era, and really starting with Dick Vermeil, expectations in Philadelphia have certainly changed. Problem is they haven't won a championship since 1960. That's a big problem.
Oh, but again, the expectations are not there.
The ability to make the playoffs. I mean, they've certainly had the ability to make it the playoffs. It's just a question of how far you advance. See, we have different levels of expectation. And for an up-and-coming program, it's always getting to the playoffs. But then once you get there a couple times, the expectation need, you know, obviously is to finally win it. Being there is not good enough. That puts a little more pressure on everybody, staff and so forth. But it's a pressure you like to have because it means you've had some success. Now it's a chance to build upon that success and see how far you can take it. Winning's hard. I've pointed that out how many times on the show. Winning is hard. And one of the things that's happened is that we've gone to a media and a society that's made it seem like winning's easy. Peyton Manning, in order to cement his legacy, must win a second Super Bowl. He doesn't need a second Super Bowl to cement his legacy. Why does he need a second Super Bowl to cement his legacy? It'd be great if, for him if he got it, because that would be multiples. But in other words, he's a lesser quarterback because he has one? Was Mario Andretti a less of a race car driver because he won one Indianapolis 500 and not two?
You know, for a long time, I believed that that was the case. But, the more I think about it, the more I agree with you. I mean, winning is hard. Winning a Super Bowl is hard. Winning the Indy 500 is hard. Winning the World Series is hard. Doing it multiple times just shows your talent and ability, not your lack of it because you haven't done it more than once.
I mean, that's why winning is special. If winning were so easy, everybody would. Unless you're a Massachusetts Little League team where they give everybody a participation ribbon. Just kidding. But that's what makes it special. It's not easy to do. Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl. The man has a world of talent. Drew Brees has won one. He has a world of talent. Joe Flacco's won one.
right? I mean, it's just not easy to do. The Yankees have had all the money in the world. From 2001 to 2013, they've won one. Well, that one was really good, special, and they were terrific. The Phillies have won one. It's just not easy to do. That's why teams that do win multiples, it really is special.
Wait, the Phillies have won two.
Ever.
Yes.
Ever. So I said, I meant from 2000 on.
No, I know. I just didn't want to, I didn't want them to get shortchanged because it doesn't happen a lot.
1980 and 2008, yes. But it's just not, it's not easy. That's why, for example, when the Red Sox win three World Series over a 10-year span, that's pretty special.
How about four within a decade or so?
But does that take away from the Arizona Diamondbacks or the Marlins winning? No, because winning is special. It's hard to do. If winning were easy, it wouldn't be as special. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Auto, home, business, life insurance. If service and price means something to you, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. As always, our thanks to Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.